Peace be with you. Friends, for this third Sunday of Advent, our readings are marvelous. The first is taken from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah is not really a household name. He's one of the minor prophets. As I mentioned before, that just means he's a prophet who wrote a shorter work. It doesn't mean he's of minor importance. Zephaniah was a man who preached and wrote during the reign of Josiah, so just before the time of Jeremiah and the Babylonian exile. Well, during this period, Israel was sorely tempted to go over to the worship of alien gods, the gods of the peoples around them, especially the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars. Liturgical rites and practices completely alien to the pure monotheism taught by Moses were flourishing in Israel, listen, especially in the holy city of Jerusalem and in the temple itself. Well, for the prophets of Israel, false worship is always the fundamental problem. Turning something less than God into God. Turning a creature into one's ultimate concern. Now, here's the reason why they were so concerned about idolatry. We always become what we worship. That's a very important principle, I think, in our spiritual lives. We are conformed, finally, to that which we consider of highest value. We become what we worship. False worship was a problem then. It's a problem now. We consider wealth or pleasure or honor or power our highest values, and hence we become conformed to them. We become men of wealth. That means you worship wealth, and so you become conformed to what you worship. Wealth possesses you. Or we worship pleasure. We become playboys, playgirls, the slaves of pleasure, conformed unto the demands of pleasure. Or we worship power and we become power brokers. We become movers and shakers. Slaves, if you want, of power because it's intoxicated us. Or we become popular people because honor and acceptance have beguiled us. We become slaves of popularity. What do you worship? What do I worship? That is always the question. Well, Zephaniah, like all the other Hebrew prophets, calls the wrath of God down upon the corrupt city of Jerusalem in the measure that it's gone over to idolatry. Listen, he says, "A day of wrath is that day, a day of anguish and distress." Older folks listening to me might recall the great Latin hymn, Dies Irae, Day of Wrath. It's based on these lines from Zephaniah. Now, don't be misled by this language into thinking that God is some kind of irrational brute. You hear that all the time when people read, especially in the Old Testament, these lines about God's wrath and God's destructive power, as though he's a kind of dysfunctional father. God's anger, as I've often said, is a symbol for God's passion to set things right. God's desire to sweep away all that is corrupt, impure, improper, and unjust. So we hear now Zephaniah channeling, as it were, the words of God. "I will completely sweep away all things, man and beast, the birds of the sky, the fishes of the sea. I will overthrow the wicked." Again, don't literalize the language. Don't emotionalize that language. It's God's desire to purify his world, to cleanse it. But then, and this is true now in all the prophets, after the cleansing comes the restoration. And this is where our reading for today comes from. This is where the reading commences. Listen now. "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, for the King of Israel is in your midst. There's the rhythm. Having purified, God restores. Having rid his holy city of false gods, he comes to take up his dwelling. See, again, God's ultimate purpose is not vengeance or destruction. His ultimate purpose is joy. It breaks his heart that Zion, his holy city, is not a place of joy because the people have engaged in idolatry. I will come and cleanse this city. Now, this, the church is suggesting to us, is the background that we should have in mind as we read the gospel reading for today, which concerns the great Advent figure of John the Baptist. Notice first now, as the gospel tells the story, crowds have gone out from Jerusalem to see John, this new prophet in the desert. So we're now, 600 years after the time of Zephaniah, but the same dynamic is in place. The crowds have gone out from Jerusalem. See, that's very powerful, though, isn't it? Jerusalem is the holy city. That's where the temple is. That's where the priesthood is. That's where sacrifice is. That's where you go to worship Yahweh. How significant it is, therefore, that religiously motivated people are leaving Jerusalem to see John. What they've sensed is that something is wrong in the holy city. Something is wrong in the temple. They become corrupt. The nation has again fallen into false worship. That's why John's location in the desert is his implicit criticism of the establishment. They come to John. Why? In order to be cleansed. That's the reason for his ceremonial washing, for his baptism. They know that the false worship in their own hearts and in the nation have led to a corruption. And that's why they ask John for baptism, and then they ask him, what should we do? This is so important now, Christians, listen. When they ask John, what should we do? John responds, they should do the works of justice. Listen, whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. Whoever has food should do likewise. Then the tax collectors come to him. They say, what should we do? He says, stop collecting more than is prescribed. That's what they did for a living, of course. They were always taking money off the top. Then soldiers come to him. They say, what should we do? He says, don't practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. Well, that's what soldiers did all the time. They were very poorly paid. So they became local bully boys, going around threatening people, extorting money from them. John is telling all these people, I want you to do the works of justice. Now, here's the point I want you to see. We become what we worship. There's the principle. John is saying, if you worship the true God, who is righteousness, who is justice, then you will become conformed to righteousness and justice. See, that's why these works of justice flow from right praise. They go out from Jerusalem, away from the place of idolatry. They come to John in the desert. He's telling them to worship the true God. He cleanses them. And then from that worship will follow justice. That's why this reading poses a really good question for all of us today. How are we doing in regard to justice? How do we stand in regard to the poor and the disenfranchised? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we clothing the naked? Are we doing the corporal works of mercy? How do we use our power and our economic advantage? That's a very good test of whether we're worshiping the true God or one of these idols. Okay, to To this point, you might say, well, so far, so ordinary. John is speaking in the language of the great prophetic tradition. He's in the tradition of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and all of them. And that's true. That's true. John is the last of the great prophets. But then comes this next line. It'll take your breath away. I'm baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, John's baptizing with water. He's doing a work of cleansing. He's trying to purify them from false worship. And he's urging them to do the works of justice that follow from right worship. But now he's saying, a greater one than I is coming. And he will baptize you in a more powerful way. With what? The Holy Spirit. Well, friends, what's the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the love that connects the Father and the Son. The love by which the Father loves the Son, by which the Son loves the Father. The Holy Spirit is the love that God is. Do you see now the power of this? Yes, God is justice. Therefore, if you love God, if you worship God, you become a person of justice. But now, John is insinuating something. God is more than justice. God is love. And therefore, when you fully worship the true God, you become conformed not just to justice, but to love. Love is the willing of the good of the other. Yes, it goes beyond justice. As great as justice is, as necessary and as important as justice is, love mocks it. It goes beyond it. It's not simply being equitable or fair or treating people right. It's wanting their good. It's becoming conformed to who God is. And that's why John speaks of it as fire. He'll offer a cleansing baptism, but Christ is coming now as the bearer of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he will light you on fire with the love that God is. What we're seeing here is the full implication of right worship. And that's why John says, listen, the winnowing fan will be in his hand to clear the threshing floor. The one who's come, who will come, will separate out in us all that is opposed to love and turn us into mirror images of the Holy Spirit. That's the winnowing fan that separates the wheat from the chaff. So Christ will come and separate out all that's good in us from all that's wicked in us. He will conform us to the Father through right worship, and thereby baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now there's a message that gets us ready for the coming of the Messiah. And God bless you.